Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast. Presented by Allied Home Security.
With the second pick in the 2021 NBA Draft, the Houston Rockets select Jalen Green from Merced, California, and the NBA G League Ignite.
And thus, the rebuild for the Rockets is jump-started. Last night, NBA Draft, we're live out at Day 3 of Camp Casario. The Astros have a series. It could be a possible World Series preview this weekend against the San Francisco Giants. This has been an awesome week of sports in this town, and great to cap it off on a Friday out here live at Camp Casario. Day number 3, Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. Sean Pendergast and Seth Payne, good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. A little bit overwhelmed in a good way because there was just so much going on in sports yesterday, where we had Russell Westbrook going to the Lakers, which it has special meaning for people here in Houston as the Rockets entered the draft. I think that that draft got me excited, Sean. And I think most Rockets fans are feeling that way because a lot of it just goes down to, and this is, it's like it is in any sport, in any draft, some of it comes down to, okay, well, they got guys who are highly regarded, you know, by their pre-draft assessments, by analysts and whatever. But it looks like it's coming into the shape where you feel like, okay, wow, we've got a nice young backcourt here. They can probably deal John Wall for something respectable. And we've got promising players who don't only just have upside, but that can contribute immediately. You know, this is not sitting around waiting for Mote Yunus or somebody to get there eventually. I mean, these guys can roll out and be competitive right away.
It was a cool night last night, man, and it was fun. I had fun doing the draft show here on the station with Adam Spillane, and it's always fun draft day when your team is active. I think Texan fans are going to find that out in this coming year's draft whenever they move to Sean Watson and end up using their own pick on whatever they do. So that's for next spring, though. As far as last night goes, I think a lot of people went into last night, Seth, with the Rockets with picks 2, 23, and 24 thinking, okay, well, this is awesome. They've got these picks, but they're not going to use all three picks. They'll move back. It's really tough to incorporate three rookies into the mix with an NBA team, even an uber rebuild like the Rockets are going through. Not only did they use all three of the picks they had, they traded two future firsts to get Oklahoma City's pick at 16 to draft Alperen Sengun out of Turkey, which was a really interesting pick because he's kind of an old-school classic big guy.
Yeah.
Look, Jalen Green is what everybody's excited about.
Well, yeah.
And the pundits are all giving the Rockets excellent grades for what they did last night.
And Sengun was interesting because he, and a few Rockets fans had brought his name up to me before, and I was intrigued because you'd look at a few different analysts when they would rank their prospects, had him pretty high. But what happens sometimes with some of the European prospects or what have you is it's not as known a quantity, and there's more variability there. So I think that there are a lot of people that were super high on Sengun, it just wasn't a consensus there.
Yeah.
So what you hope is that, okay, Rafael Stone knows something, kind of like Jeff Luhnow knew something with, about Cuban players that other teams didn't apparently know about Cuban players. You hope that Rafael Stone has a knack with some of the European players.
Yeah, no doubt. And as far as Sengun goes, just from an evaluation standpoint, I listened to that podcast, that Ultimate Mock Draft podcast that we were pimping here a couple of weeks ago. And the guys on that podcast, the experts on there, repeatedly said about Sengun that if this were 2005, he might be the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah.
You know, if it were that game, it's a different game now in the NBA. Although bigs are getting, you know, they're kind of getting reincorporated into things. So that's exciting. They draft with the 23rd pick, Usman Garuba, who is plays over in Spain. And he's we'll see if he comes over here or if they're going to stash him over there. That was the thought when it looked like they were going to use all four of those picks. Adam Spillane and I were saying, well, they may stash one of these guys in Europe for a little bit. And then they draft Josh Christopher with the 24th pick, who's played ball with Jalen Green before. They've played on teams together before. Really exciting player out of Arizona State. So it was a fun night last night to be a Rocket fan, man. Jalen Green is the crown jewel of this whole thing, obviously. And that's who your rebuild is going to be centered
around.
And
look, I think with Jalen Green, what you should get excited about, aside from his just physical potential, is that he really seems to check off all the boxes in terms of, you know, the work ethic, leadership ability, all of those things. For one, compared to Kevin Mobley, first and foremost, Jalen Green wants to be here. Kevin Mobley, it wasn't necessarily clear what the hell he was doing in the pre-draft process, which made me feel better and better about the fact that the Rockets were going to take Green as everybody started to feel about it. But that's, I mean, first-round picks in any major league sport now more than ever, because the money is just so great, and because the fame and social media are so immediate, there's no waiting period. That maturity matters, and you just can't take risks on guys unless you feel really good about how they're going to handle everything. I feel like Jalen Green is really well poised to handle everything that's off the court, to handle the adversity on the court. He's the kind of guy that, look, if Cade Cunningham weren't the number one guy overall this year, and this were another year in the draft without a Cade Cunningham, if Jalen Green goes number one overall, there's nobody out there saying, like, ah, gosh, I don't know. There's no number one overall pick this year. He's just that good. So Rockets fans should be very excited.
Yeah, very excited. And as you pointed out, yesterday was kind of a bananas day. I'm sitting there at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I got three push notifications within about 10 seconds. Ken Rosenthal, Max Scherzer. At the time, he said Max Scherzer is getting traded to the Padres. It wound up being the Dodgers, so that was crazy.
These baseball writers are really dropping the ball on some of these maneuvers.
A little bit. Okay. Remember, Michael Brantley was reported as going to the Blue Jays in the offseason.
Yeah.
Field Yates tweeted out that the SEC approved unanimously for Texas and Oklahoma to join the conference.
Unanimous.
Your Aggies rolled over.
You know what my Aggies are?
What?
Sean, they're team players.
Yeah, whatever.
All right? They weren't happy about it, but they're going to do what's best for the
13-1.
Everybody's getting a life pod out of the NCAA, all right?
Yeah,
we're ejecting. The NCAA can go pound sand. We're going to be our own Super League.
The same time Adrian Wojnarowski tweets about the Westbrook trade that you talked about, Russell Westbrook is going to be playing for his fourth team in 4 years, the third time he's been traded.
This is the thing that that annoys me about LeBron James as of late. LeBron James and the Green Bay front office, they're the exact same. The Green Bay Packers front office has a higher estimation of itself, and it's because basically, Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers have carried those teams, but the front office wants to get credit for all the success.
Yeah.
LeBron James is not a very good general manager at all, but he has LeBron James on his side.
He does.
And
LeBron James makes the
best out of everybody.
That's right. Barring schizophrenia, he will always have LeBron James on his side. I think it's going to fail miserably with Russell Westbrook and LeBron.
Nope.
You don't think so?
No. He does it every single time. Ah, this isn't going to work. I don't want to hear that. I guess Kyrie Irving was, that would be the one. No, it'll be fine.
So you think they're going to compete for the
championship?
I'd say they fail miserably. I mean, they're not going to be the 10 seed.
They're not a shooting team anyway. I guess they're doubling down on their strengths, and they're going against the pendulum that the rest of the league is, and then there you go.
Yeah, like I guess the bar for fail miserably for a LeBron team, by and large, other than that one weird year, his first year with the Lakers, is did they make the NBA Finals? I don't know if they're going to. I don't know about that mix with Westbrook and LeBron. And, of course, we're out here at Texans training camp, Camp Caserio, continuing. Let's just level set where we are. Deshaun Watson has been the big story, and we're going to talk more about that certainly throughout the day. Here was David Culley on Wednesday. This is after the first day out here where we got our first taste of Deshaun Watson participating in individual drills, kind of standing and watching team drills, and getting more and more detached as the morning went on. Here was David Culley on Wednesday after that practice on if he's planning on getting Watson reps.
Our plan right now is to go day to day. We'll look at the video today. We'll see what we're doing. We'll see what we got going in tomorrow. And then we'll see from that standpoint what we need to do moving forward.
Okay, I don't know what video they watched. I don't know if you need to sit and watch a video of Deshaun soft tossing with Tyrod Taylor and go, you know what? We need to dial him back a little bit. But here's the thing. Here's Culley following practice yesterday on Deshaun.
Well, as we said before, it's a daily deal, and there's no change from yesterday.
Boy, you know, I don't know if they're going to have any video once we get to about day five, because at that point, Deshaun will just be sitting on a lawn chair somewhere. He did less yesterday than he did the first day.
I would typify Culley's approach to the Deshaun questions as affable Belichick. He's kind of doing the exact same thing Belichick would do. He's just doing it with an upbeat demeanor and a smile
and
on
six
his face.
Less Super Bowl
he's
rings.
He's just telling you a whole bunch. He's basically telling you, like, eh, go screw yourself.
Yeah.
But he's doing it very politely.
He is.
So
he is. I think I will go screw myself. I like the cut of your
As a matter of fact, the only thing that we've really learned about Deshaun as he's been out here doing individual drills but no team drills is that I'll say two things. One, he's not taking any reps away from other guys. Because it's all
really
because
I'm hearing from
drills.
Some that he is.
Yeah, he's out there in individual drills. You're going to have four quarterbacks in camp anyway. I'm sorry,
it weren't him throwing it. Be Casario.
Please take some reps away from Driscoll because I've seen enough.
Yeah.
Like Jeff Driscoll's he shouldn't be on the team.
Nope.
It's hard with no pads on to prove that you don't have an NFL arm. But my goodness,
he's a miracle, Jeff Driscoll.
The other thing that we're learning is that as long as all four guys are out there. You can tell just from individual drills that Deshaun Watson is far and away the best quarterback out there.
With him doing practically nothing. It's so crazy.
I'm like, oh, please don't do any more touch passing drills. Just
yeah, you're making me sad. All right, so that's where we are with the Texans and Deshaun Watson and Camp Casario. Now, we had Nick Casario on the show yesterday. If you missed the interview, it's up on our podcast. Get the Odyssey app, and you can get the podcast, sportsradio610.com as well. One of our listeners pointed this out. Did Nick Casario take a shot at Seth Payne yesterday?
What?
Did this just sail right past both
what
of
the,
us?
All right.
Did Nick Casario? Well, I'll let you be.
It was shot
at you, not me. I'll let you
be.
Going to
be verbal fisticuffs this morning.
We'll see. I don't know if you want any piece of Casario, man.
I'd have to end it early.
Looks like he could
go. I'd have to end it in the first round.
Yes.
I'd have my hands on my knees in the.
You start laying out what he does for a workout regimen. I'm like, okay, I don't want a piece of this guy.
I'd look like George Foreman during his third comeback.
There you go.
Remember when he was trying to stand in the corner and that lasted like a round?
Yeah, that's it. All right, so did Nick Casario take a shot at Seth Payne? You'll want to hear this next.
In general, right?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Nick Caserio was on with Seth and I yesterday at 7:30. The podcast is up. It's on the Odyssey app, sportsradio610.com. It was fun catching up with the Texans general manager. But we had a listener point out to us that Nick Caserio might have taken a shot at Seth Payne yesterday in response to one of the questions. I think it was my question about getting preseason games back and assessing a team. Is it nice to have a normal training camp and preseason back to be able to evaluate all these new players?
Yeah.
They've made no bones about the fact they've got 50 new guys on the team. And so here was Nick Caserio's answer. Let's listen to this and see if he takes a shot at Seth Payne. Take a listen.
Training camp in and of itself, there's a lot of things that are going to do it. It's an evaluation period for your team because you really have to assess what do you really have. Because OTAs, you can kind of get a barometer or a baseline like of, all right, here's where we think this player is. But again, the spring, you have some limitations. And again, you play football and pads and helmets and all that. So we'll be able to assess that more once we get into the training camp setting. And with a number of new players who haven't played in our system and been here, this is where the evaluation comes in. And again, it's a day-to-day evaluation. It's not going to be about what a guy does on one particular day. I would just say this. Seth, you know this. Like, anybody can make a play on a day and look good and, hey, this guy had a good day, this guy had a bad day. But
Hey, Seth, you know this.
All right, Ben. Anybody can make a play.
Hey, what the hell? Hey, how did I not catch that at the moment?
Hang on. Hang on. Play. Hey, Ben, cue that last part. I got to hear that one more time. Did Nick Caserio take a shot at Seth Payne here?
Seth, you know this. Like, anybody can make a play on a day and look good and, hey, this guy had a good day, this guy had a bad day.
He sounds like
Seth. You know that
sounds like my wife whenever I do anything positive.
On any given day, you could be a good
blind, blind squirrel finds a nut. Yeah, blind squirrel finds a G spot.
Seth, you know this. Like when you recovered that lucky fumble in Jacksonville in '97 in training camp, and they said, "All right, I guess we'll keep him."
Seth, you know this. Anybody can con their way through 10 years in the league. Let's see. I would say if for the listener that asked that, I would say no. I didn't take that as an insult.
Because
he's done that a couple times before. He does a pretty good job. I'm always you know, sometimes when you know, like, sales tactics,
yeah.
Well, you especially, Sean, like, you know when somebody's selling you on anything.
100%.
Yeah. Like, if somebody, I'm always appreciative when I'm interviewing somebody and they'll, like, you know, make a nod to, like, well, hey, Seth, you played. Because my daubers, I'm like, okay, that's nice flattery, and I appreciate that you're aware of that dynamic, but I'm not going to succumb to flattery. So, yeah, thank you for that. I appreciate that you're a very aware person, but I have to deflect any kind of praise like that to maintain my objectivity.
I see it with Nick. I always thought it's like, I think it's a level of respect.
Oh, no, it is. It is. But you got to remember, you got to maintain objectivity.
Yeah, it's true. So, that's good advice.
McClain does it too. And McClain doesn't really respect me much at all. And McClain still. No, like, you might ask, okay, was that a shot by Nick Caserio? No, it definitely was not.
It was not.
McClain will, like, say, hey, Seth, you know this. But in his mind, he's like, yeah, but you don't know much else. It's about all you know, you big cretin, yeah. You big dumb Neanderthal.
All right, so Nick Caserio, we've determined, did not take a shot at Seth Payne.
That's
yesterday.
Good to know. We can go for it. I don't have to try to torch the village with Nick Caserio now.
You asked Nick Caserio a good question about the Deshaun Watson situation and the communication that they're having with the NFL.
I see what you're doing there.
With the NFL right now.
A little
right
flattery
now.
Trying to butter me up. I got you, Sean. I'm like Teflon to cut with confidence.
You're like a scalded dog is what you are right now.
So
all right, here's
Nick
Caserio
on communication. Anybody can make a play.
Nick Caserio on communicating with the NFL.
We obtain information along the way. I think the NFL has done a great job. We've cooperated with everybody involved, cooperated with the league. They've cooperated with us. And, you know, I think the communication between ourselves and the league has been good. So, again, we can only go off of what we have. We can't just start to speculate and, you know, what about this, what about that. Do you have to start to make some contingency plans at some point? Possibly. But, again, the NFL has done a good job, I would say, generally speaking, you know, communicating with clubs as information is relevant.
So that was, you know, in relation to Deshaun Watson and how things are going with the investigation, all of that. And he's obviously not going to go into a whole bunch of detail. I did find it interesting that the NFL seems to at least be kind of keeping them up to date. They're obviously not giving any kind of a final answer on Deshaun Watson, but I think there might be a little bit more of a back and forth and a two-way communication than just, hey, the NFL is investigating this, and you'll find out when we know what we know. I think they're probably trying to get to the bottom of things as best as possible.
I think a lot of people assume because Deshaun's not on the commissioner's exempt list that the NFL's not cooperating with the Texans at all.
Yeah.
Because everybody thinks, like, well, that would have been what everybody would have wanted out of this situation.
Yeah.
Because then Deshaun's away from the team. The team can focus on what they're doing. I'll say this from being out here for the last couple days. I mean, Deshaun is more of a distraction for us in the media, just watching him like mosquitoes to a bug zapper, than he is for his teammates. His teammates are going about business. There seems to be a pretty good energy out here.
Yeah.
You know, there seems to be a lot of enthusiasm out here with everybody pretty much but Deshaun among the players.
There are 50 or so people out here who don't know what it was like when Deshaun was on the team because they're brand new to the team. The other guys are all trying to get their own business correct and right. And we'll start to get to a little bit more of that. The Deshaun's obviously the big story, but there are other quarterbacks. Davis Mills, as much as Deshaun looks like the best quarterback in individual drills, Davis Mills throws a nice football.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a surprise to anybody. And physically, he looks the part, especially if I would say like in 2002 or so, he might look like the prototypical quarterback. It's just that times have changed. But as far as the distraction goes, Sean, you and I were watching yesterday when they took their break, and they've got that cold zone. That everybody goes into that trailer that's chilled down to like 40 degrees or whatever.
We got to go in it a couple
of times. Deshaun's holding the door for everybody.
He was, for everybody.
Yeah.
He waited for the last big offensive lineman to walk
in. He chatted with Tim Kelly for a while while Deshaun was standing as a scout team safety. He just stands there like as they're showing a look with a single high safety. He was chatting with Tim Kelly for a little bit. But I think the thing with Caserio that I hadn't really thought about, and it came up a couple times yesterday during the interview, is that as much as we like to think of, oh, well, yeah, the Patriots are this super disciplined crew, and Belichick's always got everything under control. Yeah, that's partially true, but there's also been a lot of chaos and mayhem.
No doubt.
You know, and Caserio has lived in that world.
Yeah.
Where you have to deal with, you've got an Aaron Hernandez situation. You've got two different huge scandals. You've got various contract disputes. You've got all the drama surrounding Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo. And he's probably maybe more comfortable than most dealing in situations like this that are extremely uncomfortable and awkward, but he knows that with time, everything passes.
It's very ironic because I doubt the Texans hired Nick Caserio because, well, this guy is very well versed at dealing with NFL investigations into players.
Yeah.
You know, of all teams, the Texans probably think we don't need to worry about that. And now here he is. He's the steward, the caretaker for the roster of a team who's got one of the longest ongoing investigations going on with an NFL player, with a franchise quarterback of all people. All right, speaking of taking shots, we just determined Nick Caserio, no, he did not take a shot at Seth Payne. Did Randall Cobb take a shot at the Texans yesterday? He had some things to say in Green Bay yesterday about his time with the Texans. Does he speak for current Houston Texans when he says this? You'll want to hear this next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Former Texan Randall Cobb met with the media in Green Bay yesterday, and he was asked, how does it feel to be back on a title contender?
I can breathe again. I've seen the other side, and I'm excited to be back here, and I'm excited. I'm smiling. It's funny. My teammates say, you act like you just got out of prison. I said, well, you know.
So that was Randall Cobb yesterday. That was the first part. Now, there's more that he had to say here in just a second, but Randall Cobb saying, you know, I feel like my teammates said I feel like I got out of prison. And I was like, yeah, well, you know, and he's seen the other side. Definitely as transcribed, construed as a shot at the Texans.
Yeah.
I don't know that the Texans are a sympathetic figure for anybody right now.
That's the problem. This is a classic situation where I felt two things at once. I felt like, well, I mean, yeah, what do you got? Honestly, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially, you got to remember, Randall Cobb went through all of the extreme dysfunction of last season. So that was some weird stuff.
Yeah.
And it was just erratic. There was no expectation of what was going to happen next. It was just mayhem. There was national scrutiny all over the place. And you've got a quarterback who's in the middle of multiple disputes and at least one big scandal. I understood what he said, but then at the same time, I was kind of like, this is Randall freaking Cobb. Like, yeah, did it feel like prison? Well, if there's one thing I know about prison, it's that you pay way more for small things than you should. Like, you might pay $10 for one cigarette, or you might pay $27 million for 400 yards of production.
Yeah.
So I felt two things. He was both right, but I was both angry at him.
I would be more sympathetic to Randall Cobb if he had signed here on a one-year, $2 million deal.
Yeah.
He thought, I'm going to get to play with Deshaun Watson, and this is a team that's making moves to go further in the playoffs. Boy, maybe I'll get another ring here. I don't think he has one.
He was part of the problem.
Yeah, that's
exactly
the problem.
Right. Yeah. It was a crazy situation, and one of the biggest, like, most egregious issues was that you had a former coach and GM who had paid Randall Cobb $27 million for God knows what reason.
Somebody laid it out. He got paid in cash when you do signing bonus and salary. And so he got paid $13 million by the Houston Texans in the 1 year he was here. And I tweeted yesterday, Seth, when he said it felt like I got out of prison. I said $13 million for 10 games. Greatest prison ever.
He should have apologized for contributing to it.
It's unbelievable.
I can't believe they paid me, but the getting was good.
Now, to be fair, He's sitting there bebopping and scotting and making those jokes about getting out of prison and this and that. He did have some nice things to say about the Texans on the way out.
That's nothing against Houston. You know, whenever I talk about that, you know, I'm thinking of Green Bay is like a Fortune 500 company. And the Texans are a new franchise. They're a startup that's figuring out their way. And I think that the moves that they made when they brought Caserio in and Coach Coley, I think that they're on a path. I think they have a plan in place. And I saw a lot of things changing over the past, 4 months that I was there. You know, I've been rehabbing the entire offseason, so I saw all the different changes. And I know that they're doing right, and they're going and they're trending in the right direction. So they're still working through some things, but I'm very excited for them as well.
They're trending in the right direction. Seth, we know
thanks,
they need
to, buddy. Well, yeah, we got rid of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. They're trending in the right direction. You know, they got rid of some bad contracts.
Right, including myself. Yeah. Look, we know what Randall Cobb said there in those last 30 seconds about they made good hires with David Culley and Nick Caserio, and they're moving in the right direction. He saw some things. He was in the building rehabbing his injuries and so forth. Look, we know one player he does not speak for when he says that is Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Does Randall Cobb speak for some of the other players, though, or most of the other players, you think, in terms of what they've seen, a lot of new ones, what they've seen so far, or what the guys, the holdovers have seen from this new regime?
I think he was backpedaling PR-wise.
Trying to sprinkle some sugar on a bad situation.
Yeah, I'm sure he still doesn't have a great approach. It's not, even if... And I think this is another thing where you can believe two things at once. I think there are a lot of players and former players who have been very critical of even the hiring of Caserio, but that still will say, both off the record and on the record, will say, like, you know, that's not against Nick Caserio individually. It's just the whole reason and justification and the way it all went down. They don't approve of that. They feel like that's what was so off. I think that was just him recognizing that he had, when he saw the reaction of everybody in the room, he realized, like, oh, that's gonna go somewhere.
yeah. He's like, wow, here. People don't often laugh at my jokes like this. I'm not usually this funny. So one of the things he said there that I saw a few people get worked up at, or you know, like the reaction was, oh, I can't believe he said that about the Texans, was the comparison of a Fortune 500 company in the Packers to a startup with the Texans. Caserio said that exact same thing in the Sloan conference that you referred to yesterday when we had Nick Caserio on the show yesterday. Caserio himself said that about the Texans. He said that we're basically like a startup right now with how we're building things.
Which is, I mean, they've been around for 20 years, so that's a little depressing in and of itself.
It is, but I think he's referring to the stage that they're in, like, with this regime.
With this regime.
Yeah.
But I mean, you could say the same thing about the Green Bay Packers. I mean, they've got their GMs. Well, Gutekunst has been there forever. He's only been the GM for a couple years. But they've had... You know, Green Bay has historical success and recent success, where the Texans are still very much in the infancy of whatever they're trying to build here. Two-thirds of the roster is brand new.
Yep.
The coach is brand new. The GM is brand new. That's a fair comparison. But again, that was part of the backpedal, you know.
It
was
Cobb, yeah.
Look, again, I'll say it again. I'll say the word again. It's true what Randall Cobb said, and yet I'm also perturbed because Randall Cobb was part of the circus atmosphere.
No doubt.
It was, as multiple people in the NFL just got around to realizing when Randall Cobb was traded, wow, this was a horrible contract. Yeah, thanks for paying attention, you SOBs. It was a really bad contract. It was one of many doled out by Bill O'Brien that didn't make any sense at all.
Yep. Speaking of the Randall Cobb trade, you asked him this question yesterday as we talked to Nick Caserio.
Yeah. Oh, Nick Caserio.
On the show yesterday. Yeah, we talked to Nick Caserio on the show yesterday. You can find that interview on the Odyssey app under Payne and Pendergast. It was a good conversation with the Texans GM. And I think one of the things you and I have made clear over these last few months is that it's nice to have an actual GM in place, somebody who sees the big picture, who knows the pieces of the puzzle, who has the patience to execute not just a move, but a series of moves that make the Texans a better football team. You asked him yesterday if the Anthony Miller trade and the Randall Cobb trade were sort of intertwined with one another. Here's what Nick Caserio had to say.
I would say not necessarily. So, again, I think each transaction is kind of independent of itself. It's kind of an independent entity. So, again, it might look like on the surface that there was, you know, rationale behind it to some degree, and that was the reason we did it. Again, that's not necessarily the case. So, again, however a player gets on the team, let's get them on the team. And then that's look where we are, assess the information. And then, again, it's day-to-day. Things are, I would say, this league, and as you know this, it's constantly changing and evolving, so you can't get too bogged down. Again, make a decision. Here's what we're going to do, and then move forward.
Yeah, he's very methodical, Nick Caserio.
Oh, I hadn't caught that little whistle there.
Yeah, I listened when I re-listened to that. I'm like, wow, he's making noises. So here's the total.
You sound like a serial killer. It's like, still making noises, are you?
I'll quiet that down. So the Texans, here's the
killing a person's harder than I thought it was.
Here's the sum total, Seth, of the Miller and Cobb trades, and you tell me if this is the indication that this is a real general manager working here. The Texans, in the sum total of those two trades, they get Miller, who, the first couple days, granted it's, throwing against air and going one-on-one against DBs and things like that, but I like Miller so far, first couple days. So they get Miller, they get a sixth, a seventh, and $5 million in cap space for Randall Cobb and a fifth-round pick. Like, that's a logical, beneficial sequence of moves, especially for a rebuilding team who doesn't need anything to do with Randall Cobb at this point. It's better to get Kiki QT and Miller, Mildog, as you like to call him, some reps.
I choose to think that there actually was maybe a little bit more pre-planning.
I was going to ask you that. Do you totally believe his answer there?
I thought that it sounded like he was... I don't think he was trying to be modest or anything, but I think, like, out of habit... He wants to try to keep things close to the vest when it comes to the way they operate, the way they maneuver. Especially whenever a general manager is talking about a trade of any sort, they got to be really careful in talking about what the talks were like with another general manager or something, because then you're looping that guy into it. You know, if he divulges anything about the way that all went down, then all of a sudden he's looping in Brian Gutekunst and the Bears management and all that. So I think I'm choosing to optimistically believe that that was all extremely well orchestrated.
I am too. And I do believe that. Payne and Pendergast with you live at Camp Caserio on day three here on a Friday at the Methodist Training Center. Texans take the field at 9:15 a.m. this morning. My big question after Aaron Rodgers stumped for Randall Cobb coming there and Nick Caserio was able to trade him, my big question, Seth, was, is there any chance that Aaron Rodgers is friends with Eric Murray, too?
Yeah.
Do you want him?
Yeah. Eric Murray. That's the other thing. Like, as people were realizing how bad that contract was, you did want to say, like, hey, by the way, okay, have you ever heard of Eric Murray?
Yeah.
Because when we signed him, people in Cleveland, where he came from, hadn't heard of him.
Didn't know who he was.
When the Texans were paying him like a starting safety.
It does make me think, though, there's a couple of things going on here with the Texans right now. Obviously, the big one is you're trying to build for the future. So they sign a bunch of free agents. You can tell Nick Caserio is not trying to do anything crazy that's going to affect the salary cap adversely. And presumably, they're trying to move Deshaun Watson as well. So there's a lot of moving pieces right now from a personnel standpoint. And there are still remnants of the previous regime on this roster. And Seth, you tell me, like, I'm looking at, I put a list together here of just O'Brien catastrophes, I guess we'll call them, that Nick Caserio is having to maybe play cleanup with, or you just got to wait it out, until the oil floats out into the sea and there your oil spill is cleaned up. The Eric Murray signing, Eric Murray is set to be about a $7 million and change cap hit this year. If they were to cut him, he would be a $6 million hit. You'd actually save about $1 million cutting Eric Murray.
You'd save $1 million, but I think, look, Eric Murray does have value as a football player. And this is where something else that Caserio said yesterday that I liked comes into play. You were asking about, hey, do you negotiate with guys in season? Do you have a policy on that? And his answer, I think, to summarize it was, look, you got to treat each situation differently.
You got to stay flexible was his big word.
And especially, you have to tailor it to the situation based on who the player is. Some guys can't handle the distraction of negotiating a contract in season. It starts affecting them. You might poison the well. It might affect his play on the field. You got to be really careful and judge each situation separately. So with Eric Murray, he might be a guy that they look at and say, all right, if we come to Eric Murray with a pay cut, is he going to be cool about it? Is he going to hold a grudge? How's it going to go? And you have to be very judicious in that, because sometimes you ask the wrong guy to take a pay cut, and if If you ask a guy to take a pay cut, you got to be sure you're ready to cut him if he doesn't take it, because otherwise he might hold that grudge against you. So they're gonna figure out. I'm guessing they'll figure out what they want to do with Eric Murray after they take a look at all these other defensive backs and feel and see. Okay, do we have a guy that can play in the slot? Do we have a backup who can play in the slot?
Yeah, I'm glad you put it that way, because as you and I are talking this through with Eric Murray, I'm thinking, look, I think once Lonnie Johnson is off of this non-football injury list that he's on, he and Justin Reed are the two starting safeties.
Yeah.
I think they see A.J. Moore as a third safety. There's a chance Eric Murray doesn't make the team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there's that.
Desmond King has been, he can play the slot. And there are a lot of intriguing names in the secondary right now, but it's a little bit in that Vernon Hargraves category where you're like, man, I know this guy can play. I know he can.
Seen him play, yeah.
Why can't we get it consistently?
Yep. So the Eric Murray contract is something that certainly would be on the list of O'Brien cleanup. The Whitney Mercilus contract extension, which was just an awful contract. I think they've done what they're going to do with that, Seth. They did a restructure that. They pushed some of the money into the future. They added a couple voidable years onto the end of it. I think they basically set this up so that Whitney is here for this year, and then they get out next year with some pain, but not as much pain as it would be to move on this year.
Well, and Whitney is a guy who has always looked, he's bigger than your average outside linebacker, and you could very easily see him become and transition into a 4-3 defensive end. And I think that's what you're getting this year. I don't want to say a better version of Whitney Mercilus, because it's all fluid based on scheme and age and all of that. But I think given the fact that guys tend to slow down a little bit as they get older, this might be the perfect transition into a 4-3 for him, because he can use and rely on his size more than his speed or athleticism, and he uses his hands well. I think at times last year when they really were not doing a great job setting the edge, they can be better at it now in a 4-3 where all you're trying to do is get upfield and set that edge. So this might end up looking a lot, that contract for Whitney Mercilus might end up looking a lot better this year.
That'd be nice. That would be really nice. Because personally, I like Whitney. I hate his contract. I think the easiest one to move on from, Seth and I are going through a list of Caserio cleanup projects from the Bill O'Brien era. This one's not a big ticket one, like, you know, Zach Cunningham's contract or Whitney's contract that O'Brien gave out, Nick Martin's contract, which they've gotten out from underneath that. But Brandon Dunn is a very easy $3 million in cap space to go pick up. And I think there are some questions about how well he fits into Lovie Smith's defense. He's set to be about a $4 million and change cap hit. They can get out for $1 million from Brandon Dunn.
Yeah, and there's pressure on Brandon Dunn, because this is a scheme change that matters for him. You know, a lot of times these days in the NFL, scheme, 3-4 and 4-3 is a little overblown, because when you get into your nickel and dime defenses, it's all the same. It's all the same whether you run a base 3-4 or a base 4-3. But Brandon Dunn is a guy that classically looks like a 3-4 defensive lineman. He's good at doing that kind of work, two-gapping, playing more conservatively at the line of scrimmage, where they're probably looking for a different type of athlete right now, a guy that's a little sleeker and get upfield. I think he looks like he's lost a little bit of weight.
Mm-hmm.
It looks, and it's hard to judge.
Yeah, he does. It's hard in to better shape.
Once you get up into that 330 stage, it's hard to judge, because like 10 or 15 pounds is like a biscuit to people, and you can't tell. But that'll be the challenge for him, because a 4-3 still can use a big plugger that you throw in there in specific situations. So
yep.
I think there is a place for him on this team, but he's got to maybe bring a little bit more to the athletic side than he used to.
That's somebody they could go to ask for a pay cut. I could see that happening.
Yeah.
Brandon Dunn.
Yeah.
The last one I'll hit here, the list of cleanup projects for Caserio, this 2020, the only draft class that O'Brien was overseeing was the 2020 draft class. And I don't know how many of these guys are going to be viewed as long-term players. John Reed's not really standing out. Ross Blacklock was their marquee guy in the second round. Jonathan Grenard. I'll tell you who looks the part this year that didn't last year, who looks like he spent a year in an NFL weight room, is Charlie Heck.
Yeah.
Charlie Heck looks good.
He's sleeker. He looks, last year
he's better put together.
He looked a little bit more like an overgrown adolescent last year.
Yeah.
Where now he looks like an actual man.
He does.
Like with all the parts and everything.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I guess, you know what he looked like last year? He looked like a an immature basketball player, like a big old center.
Okay.
You know?
And
now he actually looks like a sleek modern NBA center.
There you go.
I'd like to look him more like a, you know, like a bulked up Shaq at some point. Yeah. That might be asking a little too much.
Hey, Mayor Sylvester Turner has proclaimed today, Friday, July 30th, as Jim Adler Day, Seth, the Texas Hammer. Jim Adler established Jim Adler & Associates back in 1973. Over 300 lawyers and support staff work for the firm, and his charitable work, Kids Meals, Camp for All, Heights Interfaith Ministries. He's done a lot for this city. You hear his ads. I mean, he's famous here in town, but he should be famous for all these great works that he's doing here in town. He also sponsors kids from many children's charities to go to Houston's Children's Museum and provides these kids with school supplies as well. He's delivered food and supplies to people in need during the outbreak of COVID. He is the Texas Hammer in so many different ways. Jim Adler. It is Jim Adler Day here in the city of Houston. So congratulations. Well-deserved. And we appreciate you, Jim Adler. Up next, who blinks first, the Texans or Deshaun Watson? That's next.
Spring is a time of renewal. So why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.